It seemed like while we've been here, been different ministers, saints, and I don't find any of the ministers alike. But yet they all, what I love is they hit alike, strike alike. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be in the house of God. Now this afternoon, it's rather a sleepy time, and I've told people sometimes when I'm out that if one of my members, I have had my left or right limb go to sleep on me, and if it does, I can hardly walk. So it'd be pretty hard when you go to sleep on me now. So let's keep awake. Let's be all we can, and let's turn to Luke, this 7th chapter and 11th verse. I'm glad to be hid away with Christ in God. You know, when you're hid with Christ in God, well, you're out of reach of the things of life. Now it says here in Luke, I believe 11 and 7, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. I thought of that as I read that. Surely that mother must have been happy. I just pictured it in my mind, that mother, a widow, and had only one son left, and there he's gone. And there he was taken. I don't know how long he'd been sick or anything like that, but he was taken. And I can just see that she must have been loved of the town. The whole great many came out to see. Thank you. Many of them came out to see and to be at the funeral and all of that. And there she was weeping, felt so bad. Her only son was gone, taken out of the world, left her alone to make a living. And I pictured it all in my mind and just thought over it. And here the Lord came along and resurrected that young man, brought him to life, gave him back to his mother. And I thought there, I can just almost see that mother giving him an extra hug. Just extra. She somehow, her love went out a little deeper than it had before. So there was a warm love. And then I got thinking, maybe that the great crowd that was following them, maybe they gathered at her home to have a visit, to have a rejoicing time, because that son was alive. There he was. He was brought back and given back to his mother. Now this young man was actually dead. He was dead as he could be. pulse had quit, the heart had stopped, the blood had stopped. He was completely dead. And there she brought, he brought her back and gave her to his mother. And I just couldn't help but think, there may have been great shouting, there may have been great rejoicing when that came, when that took place. I wasn't there, but I just know how it would be if one was brought back to life in your family. It'd be quite a thing to think on. It'd give you thought for many days there to think that son was dead and brought to life again, given back to his mother. And oh, I pictured in my mind how they gathered together and maybe had a feast, had a rejoicing time, because that son was back again. Well, now here, you take you and I, when we are living in sin, before we were saved, before we were born again, a change of heart, before we was converted, we were spiritually just as dead as he was. Just as dead. We're dead. We couldn't have a part. We couldn't do anything in the cause of God. And so Jesus says over here in John 5 and 24, if you'll turn with me, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now just as that man, the young man, was rose up, there was great rejoicing, just so when a man or woman is born again, resurrected, there's great rejoicing. It puts real rejoicing there. I believe the scripture says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents the 99 just persons that need no repentance. They're rejoicing there. And I thought, I just pondered that in my mind, how they gathered together in my thinking and rejoiced. But when we see one born again, come to life, that has been a wayward boy, a wayward son, wayward daughter, all of that, then come to life, and it changes things all around. It puts rejoicing in the camp. It just makes us feel good. It just rejoices our heart to see one resurrected. Well, folks, the Lord is still in the resurrection right now as he was back there. Yeah. He resurrected that man literally. He raised him from the dead. Yeah. He's still raising people from the dead today. Yeah. Yeah. Still raising them from the dead. Yeah. Oh, and say, when he raises a man or woman from the dead, they act different, they talk different, they live different, they do different. Everything is different in their life. Everything is different in their life. They even put a new song in their mouth. Even praise under our God. Folks, it changes the things all around when a man is brought to life again. You know, everybody loves life. Well, you take here, there's people get out here, and when they see their life is ebbing away, their life is going out, they'll take shots, and they won't stop for money. They won't stop for what it costs. They won't stop for distance. They won't hardly stop for anything to restore life. They want life in there. Well, now here, he says you can have life and have it more abundantly. Just have life. He came to give you and I life. A lot of it, I believe we are in Isaiah, it says, multiply to pardon. And multiply on the run, in a hurry, to get there to pardon you and I. You know, it's wonderful to have life in there. I too think of the spring of the year. That's my rejoicing time. I look over the trees and see them springing out, buds coming forth, and grass coming up. There, even the air smells different to me. Everything, the atmosphere seems different to me. Everything is coming into life, resurrected. And you look at the trees in the dead of the winter, They look hard, they look tough, all that. But whenever spring breaks out and gets covered with a new coating, it makes them look soft. They do. I believe it's Job in 23 and 16 or something like that. He went through great things of life, but he said, "The Lord maketh my heart soft." He does. He makes that heart soft, softens it right down, mellows it down. It can be then as fair as the moon and clear as the sun. You know, it's a wonderful thing for that heart to be softened, tendered down. I think of Jesus in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It said he grew up a tender plant in a dry ground. It was dry all around him. No salvation about him. No water of life around him. But yet he himself grew up a tender plant in a dry ground. He didn't grow up tough. I believe with all my heart that we're resurrected, born again, change of life, made a new creature. I believe it don't matter how long we live, we ought to end our life in this world still tender.
Amen.
Still tender. Don't get no tougher. Don't get no asparagus, I believe it is. When it first comes out of the ground, it's soft and tender, isn't it? It's real solid, tender. But after it goes a while, it gets tough.
Yeah.
Folks, I tell you, God wants you and I to stay tender, continue standing tender, like he did. He grew up a tender plant in a dry ground. Oh, I rejoice in it now today that God has given life. I could have been out in the graveyard, but literally speaking, God restored life to me.
Amen.
He gave me life. And I tell you there, he gave me spiritual life. I rejoice in his spiritual life more than my natural life. I do. I tell you, if everyone could realize and see what it means to be dependable, be stable, be solid, be firm. I know I was lost in the lead and zinc mines one time. And while I was down there in them mines, wandering about hundreds of feet deep, thousands of pounds of dynamite going off down there in the mines, and me down in there with it. Oh, it was a terrible scene. I had a jacket on and a light on my head, and it just blowed my light out right now. My jacket blowed out straight out and all of that. And I didn't know I'd be blown to pieces any minute. And you know, I got down and fell to the tracks on the ground to see how to get out of there. I finally stood on my tiptoes to keep my eardrums from busting. I was in an awful fix. I was lost down there. I was lost in them mines. Couldn't see my way out. It's dark. I could put my hand before my head, face. I couldn't see my hand. I couldn't see nothing. It's total darkness down in them mines. So I fell to the railroad track down in the mines and come to the place you call a probe, they call them. That's a switch. And I'd beat on that and try to get lined out which way to go. I just keep a following that track. And finally I followed it and followed it until I come to the shaft that goes out on top. Before I got there, I saw one bulb shining. Just one, that's all. But that was enough. Just one little light is shining there at the bottom of the shaft. When I come up there, oh, I thought, I'm glad that light is shining. If that light had went out, I'd have been there all night in that mine. But that one light was shining. I walked up there to the light under the shaft, and supposed to be everyone gone home. But I didn't know how there'd be anyone on top or not. But I caught a hold of the bell rope. I give it three rings. That's to let them know on top that there's someone in the mine. I give them three rings. You've worked in them, I guess. I give them three rings, and I stood and waited. Didn't know. Finally, here come a bucket down.
Yeah.
You know, that made me feel good. I didn't rejoice to see that bucket coming down. And when that bucket come down, I got in, and after I got in, steadied it, I give them another ring. And out on top I went into the clear light. Oh, I tell you, I felt good when I got out into daylight. Folks, a person that's in sin today is in darkness.
Yeah, so.
total darkness. Don't know which way to go, what to do. One out and cannot get out. But when that resurrection takes place in your life, you come out into daylight. You come right out into daylight. Oh, I feel good in my soul to know that God has brought me out into daylight. In the light of the gospel. Folks, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you see the light shine. Now, according to 1 Timothy 5 and 6, he says, she that lives in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Anyone living in pleasures of this world is dead, even though they're walking around, walking about. They're still a dead person. Their soul is dead. You remember Jesus told them by yonder, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eat that forbidden fruit. The day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. The serpent come along and he says, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt not surely die. He put a knot in there. Yeah. Boy, there it was. And so Eve, she partook of it, and they went out of the Garden of Eden. They got put out of the Garden of Eden because they spiritually died. They died when they partook of that. Then we find in the 5th chapter of Genesis, and I believe the 3rd verse, after that, Job lived so many years and begat sons and daughters, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sons and daughters in his own likeness. They wasn't in the likeness of God then, but they was in Adam and Eve's likeness, Adam's likeness. You know, we were created in the likeness of God, image of God. But when they went out, and then after that, Adam got sons and daughters. Then we were, when we were born in Adam's likeness, in the likeness of Adam. So it takes a real change of heart to get us back into the likeness of God. Image of God. Folks, I tell you, I wish all could get this. It's a real experience. You cannot do the things you'd like to do until you're born again. You'd like to. And sometimes some say, I don't see the kingdom. I don't understand it. And I don't see this. I don't see that. Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again. That is resurrected. Change of heart. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You might see the outside of it. Like some of them back there, when Noah built the ark, I really believe a plenty of them, maybe thousands of them, saw the ark going up. I believe they did. I believe lots of them saw the ark going up, but that didn't put them on the inside. It didn't put them on the inside, but they saw that. Now listen over here in Colossians 3 and 1. We go over here and get a scripture. This is something a man cannot do until he's resurrected. Now, and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if ye have been resurrected, if ye have been born again, a change of heart, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye be risen, seek those things, and that's hard to do. There's some things I've often said that God said to do that's impossible for the natural man or woman to do. I still say that. I do. There is something that God said for you and I to do that is completely impossible for the natural man or woman to do. Now, he says, love your enemies. Well, it'll crop out after a while. He'll come back at him, he'll get something, he'll do something back, he'll say something, or he'll have a feeling against them. He said, love your enemies. And you might say, tell anyone, your enemy, by force, I love you. But you don't, down deep in your heart. But now, whenever you get resurrected, born again, change of heart, it is a fact and a truth. You'll actually go out of your way to do a kind deed to your enemy. You'll do that. You'll do things that you wouldn't have done before. Now he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, wicked, which is idolatry. For which things spake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. That's why we done. When we lived that way, before the resurrection, we lived like anyone else. We lived like the world. When the world said, let's go to the show tonight, well, you'd say, let's go, I'll go too. You do that. Well, they told me, let's go to the ball game, big, red, big, get a ticket. Well, I went too. I went. When they say, I was working in the mines, and one of them says, let's go over here and drink a, get us a bowl of beer. And well, I didn't know whether I liked the stuff or not, but I went in the saloon. He set the beer out there, and I tasted of it, and that's all I want. That's all I've ever done. The taste of it was enough for me. Oh, it is the most filthy taste and stuff. Some people like it, but it just tastes like dishwater to me.
Yeah.
I just couldn't like it at all. Well, others, they drink it and relish it down. But I just couldn't get to liking it at all. But folks, I tell you, whenever he chained me around, I was like the man in the way in the Far East. I was preaching there one time, and while I was preaching, he was a drunkard. And as I was standing there behind the desk, I saw him walk by the door. And he looked in. And I just kept speaking, talking there. He went on a ways. After a while, he turned around and he came back by the door. He looked in again. I saw him. And I was right where I could see him. He went on. I don't know how far. I just kept talking. After a while, he came back by the door. And that time when he looked in, he turned and walked right on in up to the front. Oh, he was a drunkard. And he walked right on up to the front. By that time, we was ready to dismiss. And you know, he says here, he stepped up to my side. When he come in, he stood right by my side. And he says, before he go, he says, I'd like to be remembered in prayer. That he says, I'd like to live right. I'd like to be saved. In other words, I'd like to be resurrected.
Yeah.
I'd like to have life in me.
Amen.
Different kind of life than what I've had all the time. I'd like to have a different kind of a life. So, I said, I took him by the arm. I said, now is a good time, the best time, right now. He never answered, said a word. He just fell at the altar. And he began to pray. You know, a lot of times you have to coax people to pray. And then you can't not get them to pray then hardly. But he didn't need no coaxing. He didn't need no pleading. He didn't need no begging. He was done and tired and wore out of the old life. He wanted new life. He wanted a change of life. So he fell on his knees and he began to pray. And I thought we'd all have to get in and pray with him, you know, and agonize and wrestle with God for him. But somehow, after he started in, I couldn't pray. I just seemed like I had to stop and listen to him pray. He just poured out and directly says, Lord, he just poured out like pouring water out of a bucket. He says, Lord, you know how I've been to the roadhouses. You know how I beat my wife up. You know how I've drank. You know how I've done this and I've done that. Oh, he named all and all. What all he's a name and all. You know, all I've done and all of that, he just kept pouring out. I thought to myself, I don't know when it's going to get done. It's interesting to me to hear him pour that out. Then David said he poured out his complaint before the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
He poured it out. There's not enough people pours out. He poured his complaint out before the Lord. And that man, he on his knees just kept pouring out. I don't guess there's nobody praying but him that time. But it is interesting to stop and listen to him pray. And he just kept praying, pouring it out. After so long a time, he stopped. All of a sudden, He says, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. He says, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Then he says it a third time, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And he got up on his feet and he went out of the chapel on the run. I didn't know what was going to take place then. He just went out of there on the run, out of the chapel. And I watched him go, but it in a long enough time he had, so directly returned. He said, I went to call up my wife, long distance. He says, to tell her to come home, I'll never beat her anymore. I'll never whip her anymore. I'll never slap her anymore. I won't hit her again because I made a change. I'm saving now. That's what resurrection does. He's resurrected. He was born again. If it don't make a change in a man or woman's life, turn them around altogether, completely. Folks, you just haven't got it yet. You haven't got a hold of it yet. He went up to town, and he was so happy about it. He went up to town, and his first policeman is a big city. And the first policeman he saw, he stopped him. He says, say, policeman, he says, you won't hit me over the head again with that billy club. Says, that's the last time you're going to hit me over the head. Why? He says, I'm a saved man now. I made a change. There's a difference in me now. Different altogether. He was resurrected. He was born again. He'd been quickened. He says, you'll never hit me again. And so that, after he got done talking, he was starting on down the street. After he started on down the street, the man said, the policeman says to himself, I'm going to just watch him to see. And if he walks right by that saloon without going in, I'll know he really got it. So he held back behind till he got it and kept his eye on him. You know the world's got their eye on you and I. They're watching to see if you're going to turn in, what you're going to accept and take along the life journey.
If you got it.
To see if you really got it. So he went on down, directly watching. He passed the saloon up and never paid no attention to the saloon. He went right on by. Then the policeman caught up with him. Say, he said, I want you to come down to the police station and tell the rest of the policemen about this. So he took him down to the police station. Got in there and it happened to show there's several policemen in there. He said, all you policemen are sitting around here. He says, you'll never hit me over the head again. You hit me and took me to the police station the last time. What's the matter? Well, he says, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm resurrected. There's been a change took place in my life. And you know, he says, he had the policeman in the police station, the tears running down her cheeks. Oh, I tell you, they tried their best to get that out of him. They put him on, took him, put him on a rock pile to work it out of him. They tried every way they could think of to work that habit out of him. Put him in jail and all of that, and they put him on a rock pile. Made him work a good while there. I forgot how long. After a while, they dressed him up and sent him home, gave him a new overcoat. Started, they thought they had the cure. But he wasn't born again, you see, before he done that. He hadn't been resurrected. They started him home. He was going home. He met some of his pals along the road. That's trouble a lot of people. When they meet their pals, it gets them. So he met some of his friends, his pals along the road after he got home. He had a brand new overcoat, all dressed up. They fixed him up. They thought they had him cured. And one he run around with said, say, Bill, let's go and have another drink. I believe we will. And away he went. He had to sell his overcoat, get rid of his overcoat, to go get him another drink. Folks, I tell you, you just can't tell that's the way Paul was, you remember? Paul said it, how to perform that which is good. How to carry it out. How to live that life. When I would do good, evil is present with me. He just had a time of it until he got a hold of the Lord and was resurrected.
That's all before he got saved, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's before he got saved.
This man too?
Yeah, that's before he got saved. That's before he was born again, before he was saved. He come in there and so finally said, I'd like to show you. I'd like to see you in the dungeon where I live when I drink. I said, I'd like to see it too. But he says it's dangerous for a man to go in there. He said it's way back in a dungeon there. And it's dark. But he says, if you want to go in there, we'll take a flashlight. I said, I want to see it. So we start back in that dungeon. All you can walk on is glass. Glass all around. The floor, the ground was covered beer bottle glass and wine and whiskey and all that just covered all over the ground. And it walked, it had dirt over it and part of it, and it walked in. We took a flashlight, and he took me after he saved, took me back in that dungeon. He says, back here is where we wanted to drink so bad. We wanted to drink it so bad that he said, sometimes there's seven of us in a gang. He said, I'd take my coat off from my back and pile it in a pile. Another put his there, and we'd light it a fire to keep warm in the wintertime. He said, we took our hats off and threw them down in a pile. Light them to keep warm by. Some of them took their shoes off. They always left someone to dressed up. So he'd go up to town and beg for a dime. He said, I want a cup of coffee. And he'd done that all day long after they'd done there. Then he'd go back, he'd take what money he got and spend it for whiskey and bring it back to the dungeon. Folks, it meant something for him to be resurrected.
Yeah.
It meant something for him. He changed his life. He's done with that. Quit beating his wife. And folks, I want to say here, as sure as you live, when David was in the horrible pit in the miry clay, down in there, and God resurrected him out of there, put him up on a solid rock, he put a new song in his mouth, even praise the Lord God.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, I'm glad to be resurrected this morning. I'm glad there's a change took place in me. Since the Lord came into my heart, the great change has taken place in my life. I tell you, I appreciate it with all my heart. Now, over here in Matthew, I believe it is, or Mark 10 and 17. Let's go over here and notice this scripture. Mark 10 and 17, I believe it is. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Now, it seemed like he was in earnest. It sounded like it. And asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. It takes God in us to make any of us what we are. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all of these have I observed from my youth. I've kept this up from my boyhood days. That's pretty good. To think how that was, I went to a man one time. They told me to go see him and her. Aged couple, living on the hill, way back, I believe, in Tennessee or somewhere. I went up there to see them. When I got there, I asked the man, both of them far along in years, I says, are you ready to go? Do you have an experience? Boy, he says, I've never killed anyone. I've always been good to my neighbor. I've always done that. But I says, have you had an experience? Have you had a change of heart? Well, he says, I never did kill anyone. Well, I says, probably you'll find in your life there's lots of church members, got their name on the church book, all of that, maybe teaching class, that isn't as good as this man right here. I think how careful this man lived, but all of that, yet he's lost. He says here, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? The 19th verse. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. He's clear on that. Do not kill. He's clear on that. Do not steal. He's clear on that. Do not bear false witness. He's clear on that from his own statement. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. That's a pretty good life, seems to me like. Pretty good life, all that. Now I say, don't you see there that man who had a pretty good life? And I say, a lot of people got their names on a church book. Yoked up and teaching classes, don't live that kind of a life. Well, and so after talking with him a little bit, he says, I see. So he gave his heart to God. He was resurrected. He was born again. Had a change of heart. Well, it was getting late, and so I went back up the next day to talk to her. And when I got up there, I says to her,